Good evening.
I thought nobody would show up this morning, but there's a lot down here.
So, wow. Why we don't start it, and then we will have some time later. I want to show you a little bit of what's going on in Bolivia, and not mention of the COVID situation, but down there was really, really, really bad. I will be showing the last few months of the ministry, but we need a lot of new leaders, elders or pastors or something. It's just of the people that I know or I knew. We count with my co-workers, 150 leaders pass away in the last 3 years of this. So there is a lot of empty spaces of that to replace. And we have seen now the needs of leaders. And that's our next step or next job, to train young people to take over or replace those ones. So let's see. Can we put up this light in somewhere? This is one of the last assembly we built in the city. Is doing quite well, and I don't do anything here. Some members. These two guys there, they are the new elders of the church, and they're doing a good job. So I still do some preaching around the country and teaching camps. And then we do the church planting with the board ministry. And this is the second assembly or church that started in one of the village Colossus studies called And then the next one is called Piedrita. And this is one of the first ladies who become a Christian in town. Now is going to reach others for the Lord. This is the third Nueva Brema. And this is what we done after the COVID two years ago. There's the building that in this place will not allow for years to have a Christian church. And now we were able a couple years ago to put up this building. We bought this land and right away we started building. And that young guy there now is in charge of the ministry down there with this. And lastly, of the church planting on the river, is the Bocorondo's church. This was last August. We were there, and we bought some wood, and then we did this building in 5 days. And this is the church now, and Bocorondo. While I was there, three more people became a Christian, and we have the baptism also. I didn't lose to the alligators, none. So they were okay. And this is the first service, actually, that we have there. Now, we pass to this. the boat ministry, we have been in this boat ministry since 2004. And the Lord had added, this was our first boat here. And then we have another one here. And then this is the last one that we have. And that has been serving year after year, visiting the villages and preaching, decking doctors, nurses. We take them some used clothes for them also. And this is inside the boat. We have an office down there for a doctor that can attend the people. And we have a chair also inside the boat, a dental chair. Now this is a new opportunity that we have to make false teeth. And actually, I didn't know that there was a grader. This is with our portable dental equipment that we have. We have three that belong to the bowl. And we have services just alongside sometime or in the school. Oh, anyway, this is another team. And now I want to show you that this year, we have taken out of the water the big boat to repair. And it looks like that now. Man, it's a lot of work. We have changed all the side down here. And at the other side also, and some plank from the bottom, because it was like this, yeah, the wood, it was rot, damage a lot of this. So we want to keep above the water, not under. So we just ordered a bunch of wood, like this one here. I was telling our brother Nelson, that is 35 centimeters square and then has 12 meters long. And they had put this one at the bottom of the boat. So we are replacing all the wood that is not good. Here is one of the pieces there. And now this is how it looks like now. We have finished this part. And we cover with tar, and we kind of put another coat over the whole wood so we can protect it from, damaging. Another area where we are involved is this discipling. We're still traveling starting with these two young guys. I want to stop a little bit here. I want to start with this one here, Rodrigo. I met him when I was building the other assembly, the Nueva Brema, 2 years ago. He was 2 months out of jail, where he spent 6 years with all kinds of stuff there, and robbery, drugs, and you name it. In jail, he became a Christian. And he heard that we were building that church, and he showed up. He said, I want to help. And he was there the week that we were there. And he's really growing in the Lord. And he's alone, single. I want him to be part of our team. And I want to develop. He's a cook now. He cooks. He learned in jail to cook. So he every time we go in the boat, he's the cook down the cooker there. And it's very good guy, clean, hard worker, and all of that thing. So one of the prayer requests I want to leave with him, I want to start with him some kind of tent maker, something that he can do to support himself, but at the same time work at the ministry. This other guy here, Pablo, is the captain. He's been helping or working with me since 2009, 15 years. And this one here, Ebil, is another bad guy who, oh man, that was worse than this one here. He was involved in drugs, selling, and carrying on to the other side of Brazil, 10 kilos or whatever at the time, until the police got him, make a drink, body the acid, spend in jail a few times here and there, throw him to the river to die, and after 24 hours, he swam the other side. He survived overall, and I met him a year ago. And I am doing with him, I plan to do with him the same. He's a mechanic and welder, so I provide for him a welding machines, and now he went to school for Bible school for a little bit. He's a good preacher. And is straight up his life is now good walking with the Lord. So one of the things is you pray for the three guys, Ebil, Rodrigo, and Pablo. And then I brought to Rodrigo to the house, and I have a time with him to talk and discuss a lot of things and preach. So I travel a lot with them to kind of disciple. And my plan is that they will be involved more and more in the boat ministry. And this is Mauricio, who come to the Hama as well, has not been that bad like the other one, but as involved as a hippie and does hard music as well. And it came to the Lord, and now it's growing. I have another project in mind. I thought I would retire, but I don't think so. And it's the rehabilitation center that I plan to build somewhere here. It's still it's a land, and there's nothing there yet. So because of the ministry has grown a lot, we have this three boat, we have two vehicles, three motorcycles, and a lot of equipment. We have decided to purchase a house, a property here, these two coconut trees here, to be the main office. And this is how it looks like. It looks ugly. And it's a lot of thing to work, but I like the where it's located. And I plan to repair this one, and someday will look like that. So we need your prayers for that and for our health during the time that we're here in Canada. For those who are in charge of the ministry down there, especially these three guys, Pablo, Ebil, and Rodrigo, for the plans to repair the boat this July that we started, and we're still working on, and the plan to finish up paying the office. It was a lady that couldn't pay the mortgage, so I bought from her. The debt is so I'm paying the bank and all of the other stuff, but actually we have the house now for this. So this is a little bit faster overview of what's going on in Bolivia or what we are involved in. Coming back to those two guys, I have two other guys. They have not been as bad as those two, but they have been sinner too, but they are now Christian. One of them I baptized, Yacela baptized him in the middle of the pandemic, and is growing, and is the one that is petroleum engineering, and is very good and organized, and the guy, he just got married. They don't have any children yet, but he's getting more involved in the ministry. And the other one is called Victor Hugo. It's very much, he's an accountant boy too, single, and he's the one that take care of all the business and the numbers for me and all the paperwork while I'm here and even when I am there also. So my desire is that these guys, young guys, will start more and more involved in what we are doing, and I am kind of sleeping a little bit at the side so they can go on and with the ministry. More and more young people are willing to go and desire, but the situation financially there is kind of tough due to the pandemic and other things. So it's getting tough for them. Their plan is that the Lord will provide for them some kind of tent maker idea, is that they can work something at the side and do the same, the ministry at the other side. So that's the plan and our desire of working on for night on. So I will leave a few minutes for questions if you may want to know something that you have seen and I didn't mention or I didn't say. Oh, sorry, before you, probably when I was here, I mentioned about radio ministry. During the pandemic, I lost, because it was shut down everything, and then I lost few equipment, and I lost the license as well. So I have not recovered of that yet, and I am waiting and trying to move. I still have the rest of the equipment, the transmitter and the antenna and other cables, but I'm planning on moving from the big city that is Santa Cruz to the small where we have the office and work from there, the radio station also. Anything did you want to know more about? Do I explain well or I did not? Sorry?
What is your family at this time? Your girls?
My girls?
Yeah.
I don't know where are they, brother. No, they gone from home. We just, the two of us. Two are married. One live in Bolivia and the other one in Texas, and two are in Canada. Okay.
What's the general reception to the gospel in Bolivia right now? Are people open or probably a variety?
Thank you. That's a good question. The pandemic somehow kind of opened in provide some kind of need or hunger. Or there was a lot of people for the assembly, Zion, the first that I mentioned, that they were calling. And when you pray with them or go and visit them or things like that, is kind of much better now. And that assembly grew a lot. The first assembly, the Zion Church, due to the pandemic. So it's kind of more open. And the same in that place that I told you for years they didn't let us in. After the pandemic, they said, oh, you can come and help us. And this is where we bought the property, and right away we built a church. So it's more. Good. Well, due to those guys that somehow I met them, you know that they were some kind involved in drugs and all of that. It was the idea of them, let's say there's a lot of people that they need. So kind of start sinking, and I was challenged for a lady, not Christian lady, that I visit her and I present the gospel. She said, well, you guys, you Christians are worried about their soul and their soul, but don't worry nothing about the body of the people. And I said, you're right. So we got to start doing something. So that's the idea that came to this. It is primarily thinking of those people who has some kind of addiction, not necessarily to drugs or alcohol or other addictions also. But it's tied to those people, young people, like those one here, who are in villages And there is nothing, they are nothing. And the only one that they want to have is have babies at 12 years old, 13 years old, you see them, you know, having babies. So our desire is to take those young people out of their villages and bring to that center and train them somehow in some kind of trade, like carpenter, electrician, mechanic, or whatever, and send them back to their village and be their our missionary there or something. So it's tight. So we plan that with those young guys that we take out of the villages, help those people who have some kind of addiction also. And we plan to have both group there in the place. No, the building that I show, it will be the main operation, the office. That the picture where I was standing pointing up somewhere to a grass or to a field is that way we plan to. That land, a 10-acre, has been donated for a brother who owns that ranch or something and said you can build here. But at this time, I am involved in few little things yet, so I want to get out of there till we can start this next project as well. So we have not done anything yet in that rehabilitation center. We want to finish the office that will run the rehabilitation center also, and the boat ministry and the churches and everything. Yes, exactly. It will train. I already have some of the some machines, let's say carpenter, to use it there for that center. I have some for mechanic. I have the teachers already that they are willing to go and teach there, but I don't have yet the place. And now they are asking me when you will open. You open because I open the next day is full. Believe me. Yes.
What was the capacity you had?
Oh, don't tell me. I'm too old now. I don't know. You have to think about this. I don't know. I'm thinking to get started with few because I don't know how I'm getting into this and I don't know how to handle it. So I want to start it with few. And then as we go on, we start adding more and more. But I have those guys that they understand both sides. And they said, we know how they think, we know how they react, we know how, because they have been there.
Now, the radio ministry, is there open reception in the towns or in the country?
Yeah. What I have now, I gave a lot of, in the neighborhood, I gave those radios to Galcon International that they were tuned in our own station only. So they were well receptive to these things, and they are, they kind of like it. If you added a message for them, let's say something that they're looking for a cow or they're looking for whatever, if you added those messages to the radio, they kind of like it to listen because they're interested in knowing what's going on.
How many river trips do you try to do each year, and how many communities along there are you visiting?
There are 36 communities in all those four rivers that we visit. We cannot cover all of them every year. So I've been doing four, sometimes to five and six trips a year. But this time our plan is to increase this, and I don't know, from those four or five, to spend on the water, on the river, 9 months of the year that they will be the the time where the water is high and we can sail back and forth. Later on, the water drop and then it can't go anywhere or something. And not only just spend a day or so where we were doing before, a day or so, because people, American and Canadian, they just go for a week and they want to come back. So we have to hurry up. And that village only we spend a day. So in one trip of 8 days, we spend seven, so sorry, we visit only seven villages. But this time that our plan is to establish churches or assemblies there. We plan to spend more time in the village until that little group kind of started, you know, meeting together, teach some songs or whatever, and then leave to the next one and spend again more time. So this is a new schedule that we're getting into. So at this point, I'm not sure how many trips we're going to do next year. But so far, I have eight. Four in the months of April and four in the months of May.
Are most people in the area Christians, or do they just want to be Christians, or neither?
Good. They are not Christian. That's why we go there. There are few. There are one here, or a family here, or a kid like you, that they want to know about the Lord. So we go and visit those villages, and it's usually the kids like you, they really want to know about Jesus. So we stop there and we meet those kids. We just bring them, get a candy or get some cookies or whatever, and they spend an afternoon or a day with us, and we have to present the gospel.
Do the adults want to?
The adults, they are more cautious, you know. They come to the meeting also. They hear the gospel. But when you ask them just a crucial question, if they want to follow the Lord or they want to become a Christian, kind of postpone and say, oh, wait a minute. Next time that you come, I will do it. Or I believe it. But not now. So now the kids are more receptive than the adults. But the good things of the adult, they listen to. It was a village that it was in two houses. Now he reminded me of this story. Great. There were two houses. And I was passing and I asked this Pablo, the captain guy, so we are stopping that place? It looks like there are two only houses. Why are we going to stop with these two houses? We were talking like this back and forth because we were in the middle of the river. Sometimes this river has a half a mile wide. So they were kind of far. We saw the two houses. And I said, we were back and forth. And then suddenly we saw a little canoe, like a kayak, coming to the boat. Wow, we just slow down. So we slowed down, the guy came and grabbed the boat. He said, great, I have a dream last night about you guys. I had a dream. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that in the boat has a cross, a red cross in the side. You notice in one of the pictures there? But he said, it was a red cross in my dream. It was a white cross. And that was you. Wait a second, I said, how do you get this? Well, my mom is sick. And I was praying, I was asking, Lord, God somewhere, if you just are real, send someone to help my mom. And then in my dream, I saw this boat with a white cross. And God said, tomorrow will come that help. And here are you. Wow, I look at Pablo and I said, okay, now we have to stop. So we turn around and follow the guy there. I said, hold tight to your, it was a little canoe, so he hold to the boat. And we went there. Surely, it was the mother sick. So the doctors went and take care. And that was difficult to get from the boat. That riverbank was so muddy, and that's what is called moving sand. What do you call that? That one, it was so difficult to get into the houses. So we said, you guys better come to the boat. So they did. They put some branches of wood down there, and they walk over this, and they came. They were muddy, you know, their feet and all this, and I repent saying that I should have gone. I said, because they get the boat dirty, and I have to clean it. Anyway, so there we were there the morning. And then we just took care of all of them, and the doctors and the dentists, and they worked right there and beside the boat or some inside. And then we said, we're going. We're leaving. The guy looked at me and said, you're not going to stay for service, for teaching tonight. Well, we're in a hurry, I said. Well, look, he said, you're not preaching down here to all of us? Well, kind of, not you. I said, no, I didn't say it. So I was just looking, and I said, wow, you're right. I'm a preacher. And it's not that I don't want to preach you guys, but you are too small group. The guy looked at me and said, well, we're not important or something. We were just talking like this to him, and I look at Pablo, the captain, and I said, we're going to stay. So we had the meeting, and it would just show up like 15, 20 people all together, with kids and adults. So as we have the service and in the evening and then all the things, and then at the end, I asked if someone has interest in knowing the Lord and in becoming a Christian and accepting the Lord. All of them show interest. All of them. So we were there, you know, we passed, you know, they don't have services like for 1 hour. We went 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock. Man, I said, I hope that no one will fall off the water and I have to resurrect that guy. I said, again, I can't do it, that. Anyway, we were until 12 o'clock at night with these guys. But it's sad part. The next one is when you say goodbye. No, I'm sorry, we have to go on and this and that. And as you try to give them as much information, Bibles and books and whatever, you can read it or learn a little song or something, you just are saying goodbye. And that's the sad part. But I said, we will come back. And this is always the challenge, you know, to come back and visit them and see them how they do. But sometimes when you think there is a few, and that's not worth it, you're not stopping. Well, one or two? No, it is. And I have learned that I have to take it all. Just one or two, or many, as whatever they are. And so this story remind me of what you said. The kids, they have a lot of interest in knowing the Bible and the stories of the Bible. Sorry, anything else?
Is there a lot of religion, or
they're not? They are mainly Catholic. You know, you heard about Catholics, isn't it? Yeah? Well, they said that they are Christian and they know a lot of Bible things, but really are not. So they are the mainly religion in all those villages where we go. Kind of one rare that is Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist, they're here. You know, it's rare, but there are few. Not when Bolivia, you mean? Yes, there are a bunch of them, the Jehovah's Witness, but in the places where I usually go, there are none of the other except Catholic people. Well, they call themselves, but I don't think so that they are. It's just that they said, oh, we just born as a Catholic and we're going to die as a Catholic or something. But I don't think so that I really understand what it means.
What's the climate like?
It's always summer, like Florida. Yeah, it is. It's just below the equator, not too far of the equator. So the section that I work, that it, we call the lowland, that it, Bolivia is divided in two main areas. One is the Andes Mountain, that is half of Bolivia, that comes from Colombia all the way to Ecuador and go to Argentina. And the other half of Bolivia is lowland, that is the Amazon base that we call, and this is where it usually works. So in that area, it's always warm and humid.
What's the language?
Spanish.
Do you know how to speak Spanish?
No, I don't. Well, I don't even speak English well. How in the world I will speak Spanish? No, I speak Spanish. I grew up in Bolivia. I was born and raised there.
What continent is it in?
The continent is, they call Latin America. So it's South America. And it's just in the middle of South America. It's a landlocked country. Wow, he knows a lot of geography. You're good. Very good.
Can I ask one question?
Okay, go ahead, because nobody want to answer, so you better have it all. Well, that's good. Nobody want to ask, so you better have.
I want to know geography, but I asked a question about it.
Okay.
I only asked one.
Yeah. How do you know? Well, because you know about countries, you know about continents, and you know about places, so this is geography.
How do you know when
the anything else?
What about financially? Are the prices high or are they low?
What do you mean, more or less, kind of? Well, it's low. The minimum wages down there is monthly $400 Canadian. And but with that, you won't buy much also. Especially that I heard now that the economy, due to low income of and people are rising, all the trouble of robberies and killing and all of this due to the and then increase the drugs movement, the people want to make money easy and faster also, so this bring a lot more trouble of that. So the economy is it's kind of poor economy of what we have now, especially that the government is kind of socialism, has that idea of become a communism also, as well. So they increase more or less. But just to repair the boat, the report we have spent so far, $12,000 U.S. And this includes the everything, the wood. You pay a brother, I'm paying a brother that will go and get the wood at the whatever, at the boonies, and they have to cut down there. I got to transport this one, I have to clean up this one to prepare of all this. And then the other products I buy from Brazil because we are the border. Bolivia is on one side of the river and Brazil is on the other side. So this gave us a lot of opportunity to buy the other parts, nails, screws, tarts, and this goes on and on to repair. So there is a lot more expensive than is in Bolivia because the money is a lot more worth that Brazilian than the Bolivians. So to give you an idea, $1 Boliviano, let's say, it costs down there two. And one Boliviano, it costs five Canadian. Oh, sorry, the other way. One Canadian costs five Bolivian. To give you an idea.
What's the currency?
Bolivianos. Computers?
Yeah.
They are modern computers, some of them, and cost a lot. So not many people has a laptop, let's say, of this one, because for them is 4 months work, maybe, to get one, or maybe 5 months work to get one. It is communism in Bolivia. It's not declared yet, like you can do things of that, but it's much controlling people. You know, control the system, and the government want to control what comes in and what goes out, so it makes real this one. But people are thinking that they are not, but actually there is some kind of communism that they want to. It means that they want to take the rich people, their money, and distribute among these poor people, so everyone will become poor because no one's want to work. This means for this one. Okay, so I have 5 minutes more for one more.
How is the average quality of life?
The average. Well, the young people are now, how can I say, with that challenge of become, they study first, like go to university, get some degree or whatever it is that they can get better job. And then they are thinking, okay, if it doesn't work in Bolivia, because of the situation that we were, and then I got to prepare myself to go another country. So they have been a lot in Europe now, and in Spain, and in Germany, and other places where they can find work, even in North America. They don't come much to Canada because the regulation, the Canadian government is a lot tighter with immigrants. And a lot of Bolivians don't like Canada also because the cold. They are accustomed to the heat, to the warm weather and everything. It's not that they don't like Canadians or things like that. It's just the weather for them is hard on this.
Are most people poor?
Kind of. Yes. A lot of kids, they go to bed without supper. Uh-huh. That I know. Okay. If I want to leave you with two prayer requests, it's just those ones that they are here and this. If anyone has some spare money, we in the Lord's will, I'm going on Tuesday to Bolivia and to see the boat, how it's doing the boat, and then we want to complete the repair by the end of the year, or maybe before the rain season come, and then the house also, the house. The main things that they need is painting down there, and I need to do all the electrical work and all the plumbing also in order to move people in. And I want to move two of those guys that I mentioned to you guys to live there, not only to take care, but they will have a house in all well, and they can work doing something, selling some stuff in there. And I want to end there with this passage that is always. It struck me when my dad passed away. I was, I had this in mind, and since then I memorized this passage. And in we do a lot of things for God, and we have that tendency of really God is knowing what I'm doing for Him, and sometimes I feel alone or lonely, or sometimes I find myself doing things, and I say, Lord, why I'm not like those Canadians, drink a coffee and or pop down there and go into Tim Hortons or something. No, just kidding. You know, you find yourself there, and then you ask the Lord, where do you know what I'm doing? Do you care what I am doing? This, all those questions. So this passage I want you to memorize. Hebrews 6:10. And we're going to end there with this passage. And you probably are feeling sometime the same. You're just working hard, or you may help someone, send some money, help someone, and you find yourself and saying, the Lord, you really care about me or what I am doing. Just remember this passage. Hebrews 6:10 said this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. The brother that was leading the service here, down there, I don't know his name, he said, we're going to hear about the brother's ministry, the NOL ministry. I really don't like it so much of this one. It's crazy, brother, sorry. But it's not mine. It's just our ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. So what's going on is just by chance I'm involved, and you guys are also involved in the ministry, some way or another. You know, just praying and supporting, visiting, encouraging, whatever. You are involved in some kind of ministry also as well. So as we work in any ministry of the Lord or doing something, it's just a teamwork. It's a group of people together. And this involves you too. Look at what it said. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. Whatever you do, if you do in the Lord's name, just be sure that the Lord is not unjust to forget. It's not, doesn't get old like us and then doesn't remember things. It is one thing that the Lord doesn't remember. People like her that this Lord doesn't remember one thing, he forget one thing. They said, what is it? And it's our sin. But it's not that the Lord doesn't remember our sin. Read it carefully. He said, I will not remember. That's different. That when you want to forget things, there's nothing wrong with the head of the Lord like us. That we just go all, not you guys, me, and then we have to forget. We forget things and we have to write a thing in order to remember. But this is not the Lord. The Lord, when he is related to our sin, he said, I will not remember no more. Is he choose to not remember what he doesn't? He has that ability. We don't have that ability. Choose what we want to remember or what we don't want to remember. But here he said, I will not forget. Your work and labor and love which you have shown toward his name, and what you have ministered to the saint, and you do ministry. So, next time that you do something for the Lord, remember that the Lord is not unjust. Even so, you may feel like that is far away from you, but it's not. It just he's noticing, writing all what you have done for the saint and minister to them, I said, and you do ministry now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks once again as we remember all the years, Lord, that you have been and you will be faithful to the ministry or whatever we do for your sake name. Lord, we pray for those young guys there and their desire to serve you, that you can provide for them as work or something that they can sustain. And we pray for this assembly as well. and those among them that they are sick, that you put your hand over them and heal them and provide for their need also. We prayed all the things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you once again. Thank you very much for having us. And in the Lord's will, I am leaving to Bolivia Tuesday. So I'm going to prepare for a team that is planned to go there this last 10 days of October. And I need an electrician and a plumber. If anyone is invited. Thank you. Good night.